ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And it's amazing, you know, as we surrender to the Lord, His will becomes our will. Now, so many times we're at a difference, you know, I want to do this. The Lord said, no, I don't want you to do that. And as you spend time with Him and in His Word, as you surrender to Him, His will becomes your will, and you're going in the right direction then. Our rights need to be laid down as we serve the Lord. People of this world, believe me, they can take everything of ours away from us except the Lord. That is the only thing we have that can never be taken away from us. This world could take everything else away. But in the end, are they going to win? Really think about it. They can gain the whole world and what? Lose their soul. For us, this is all temporary, but the Lord is eternal. And He can, like I said, never be taken away. Now, let me deal with verse 20 here for a minute in John chapter 15, where Jesus said, if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And it seems like Jesus is saying that if they follow what I have to say, then they'll follow what you have to say. But it's not the exact meaning. One writer put it like this. He said, the force of the last clause in this verse is well brought out by Knox. They will pay the same attention to your words as to mine, that is, none. They didn't listen to Jesus. Don't really think they're going to listen to you either, okay? They're not going to follow you. And we see it played out today. The world is in opposition to Jesus and His word. They're in opposition to us. And they can't really fight against God, but they can fight against God's people, and that's what they do. So the world's hatred, and then no excuse. Look at verse 21 here in John 15. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Why are they persecuting us? Because they don't know God. They can't fight against Jesus, so they fight against us. That's the best they can do. Jesus is speaking, I believe, here specifically with the religious leaders who claim that they didn't know, they're pleading ignorance, but Jesus says they're without excuse. Why? Because they knew what the scriptures said. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. They knew what the Messiah was to do. They knew the time frame that the Messiah was to come, and they ignored their scriptures and living in open rebellion against God. And by hating Jesus, they were showing that they hated the Father as well. Wow. Paul makes this interesting point in Romans 1, verses 20 through 24, about this world being without excuse for knowing God. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Again, Paul's saying there is no excuse for not believing in God. And think about when he wrote this. They didn't have microscopes and all the things we have today. Look at the complexity of life. You don't need those microscopes. You just look at all of creation, you go, this couldn't happen all by itself. There had to be a designer. There had to be a creator. But man today worships the creature rather than the creator. They worship man themselves, or all these creatures, through evolution. And they suppress the truth to believe the lie. It is amazing how easily man can be brainwashed. What came first, the chicken or the egg? It's one of those things when I was in grade school, that was one of the problems we were asked. And everyone had their ideas, you know. It was the chicken, of course, because God created the chicken. Now it's easy. How did life arise from nothing? Look at the complexity of man. What came first, his bone or skin? And how much bone had to be formed for this for man to evolve? Think about it. The heart. Great. You got this big muscle. What's it there for? How did it just evolve if you don't have a circulatory system to pump? Oh, wait a minute. We don't have blood yet. We need blood also at the same time. But we also need lungs to get rid of the carbon dioxide and take in the oxygen. But we also need antibodies, because if we cut ourselves and get an infection, we're going to die. So we need that right away, because man's not going to live for another 10,000, 50,000 years before he gets antibodies. What about clotting factors? Because I cut myself, we took care of the infection with the antibodies, but what about the clotting factors? How does this all work? Oh, we can't be like the scarecrow. We need a brain, right? How does this happen all at once? And look at the symmetry we have. Men suppress the truth to believe there is no God. It's just like the abortion issue, guys. There is no way those doctors, nurses, anesthesiologists, whoever is in that room when abortion is done, when that child is murdered in the womb and pulled out, there is a baby. How do you say that that is a piece of tissue? You suppress the truth, you harden your heart that you can do this on a daily basis. That's the wickedness of man. They're suppressing what they know to be true so they can do what they want. And they're without excuse. In fact, the words and works of Jesus condemned them, and it condemns them today. In fact, Jesus says, they hated me without a cause. Think about people today. Why do they hate Jesus? Do you ever hear a swear word using the name of Allah or Buddha or Muhammad or, oh no, just Jesus? Why? Because there's something about that name, guys. Because he is real. These other guys are not real gods. There's something about that name, and they hate him. Jesus was quoting out of Psalm 69:4. They hated him. And again, they had no good reason. Look at all the good he did. But for the Jewish religious leaders, him being a man made himself equal with God, and they couldn't handle that. They couldn't handle the fact that they were sinners and they needed a Savior. That's just pride. In fact, as we've seen, as we've gone through the Gospel of John, that's his whole point, showing that Jesus is Almighty God, equal with the Father. God became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us. So man today, just like back in Jesus' day, is without excuse. And again, Jesus is warning his men of what's coming. And people today are being warned by Jesus through his word of what's coming. We know what's coming down the pike. Yes, we're living in the pre-labor pains, I believe. I think these are the Braxton Hicks contractions before the labor begins. Once that labor, the tribulation period begins, we're gone. Before that starts. We as Christians need to be careful, though, how we respond to the way the world's treating us. I shared with you before that many years ago when President Obama was in office, I would post funny jokes about him and things, and the Lord really convicted me. Not saying this is for everyone, this was for me. He really convicted me and said, you know, Joe, that is the President of the United States, and you don't have to agree with everything that he does, but you have to respect the office. And that was the last time I did that. We have to be careful when Jesus was hanging on the cross, you know, think of all that was done to him. I mean, it just boggles my mind how he was so badly beaten that he didn't even resemble a man anymore. You know, just think of the Rocky movies. Remember the first Rocky movie where his face was so swollen and disfigured, and what did he say, cut my eyes so I could see or whatever? You know, Jesus' face was so badly beaten, they plucked out his beard, they beat him. His back was like raw, and there he is, having to push himself up on that cross just to breathe the pain. And what does he say from that cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The people of this world really don't know what they're doing, guys. They really don't get it. And I could just tell you from my personal experience, I was so dumb before I got saved. I had no clue about anything that was going on in this world. And I came against those that were followers of Jesus. And they kept coming back. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. Wow. And that's what he's telling us. You know, Peter in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 16, put it like this. He said, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Wow, you know, that's an interesting statement by Peter here. First of all, don't think it's strange that you're in this fiery trial. It's happening to your brothers and sisters around the world. I think that's what the Lord is saying to us today. Hey guys, in America, don't think it's strange that you're getting into this fiery trial, because your brothers and sisters throughout the world have been suffering for a long time. Now you're starting to see some of that at a very low level right now, but it can increase. But also remember, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, make sure that how you behave is going to honor him and bring glory to him. And through all of this suffering, this pain, these fiery trials we go through, I think there's a beauty that comes out of it. God is working on us inwardly, and that beauty then is seen outwardly in the things we do and the things we say. There's this French painter years ago by the name of Pierre Renoir. He was afflicted with arthritis, and his hands became so twisted and deformed that even something as simple as holding a brush was so painful for him. And he was confined to a wheelchair over time, but he still loved to paint. One day his friend Henri Matisse visited him and watched as he painfully grasped a brush with only his fingertips. Every movement caused him pain, but there he was, still painting. And his friend asked him, he said, "What do you do this for? How can you paint at the expense of such torture?" And this is how he responded. "The pain passes, but the beauty remains." Wow. That's what happens in our lives, guys. We grow in it to a deeper and more loving relationship with the Lord as we're going through this. Yeah, there's no excuse today for not people believing in the Lord. But may we glorify God that no matter what we're going through, the things we do, the things we say, bring glory and honor to him. And again, I don't think it's going to get any easier for us in the months and years ahead. I think persecution against Christians is on the rise, not only in America, but throughout the world. Well, that brings us to the last point. How can we go on? Look at verse 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So all this persecution, all this hatred towards us, how do we go on? How can we go on? How can we love as Jesus commands us to love? Through the Helper, through the Holy Spirit, who has come and will strengthen us for the work. And the Holy Spirit's mission is to testify of Jesus. What's our mission? To testify of Jesus, right? Let's not make it complicated. It's really simple. And the Holy Spirit brings truth, and we need the power of God's Spirit to speak forth the truth in love. Because the world's going to hate us and persecute us. And again, I love how Jesus said in John 14:1 to his men, "Let your hearts not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Oh yeah, thank you, Lord. Don't let my heart be troubled no matter what I'm going through. It's a challenge. And I'll give you one example. It's about a man named Joseph. He had come to Christ out of the Muslim religion. And when you hear this story, you will clearly understand what he's bringing forth is not human love. It's godly love. It's agape love. There is no way he could do this apart from that. Here's the story of Joseph. One day, Joseph, who was walking along one of those hot, dirty African roads, met someone who shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. Then and there, he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and the power of the Holy Spirit began transforming his life. He was filled with such excitement and joy that the first thing he wanted to do was go back and return to his own village and share the same good news with the members of his local tribe. Joseph began going from door to door, telling everyone he met about the cross of Jesus and the salvation that it offered, expecting their faces to light up just as he had. I'm sure we've all been there, right? We get saved, we're excited, we're telling people, and they're like, "You're a nut job," right? To his amazement, the villagers not only didn't care, they became violent. The men of the village seized him and held him to the ground while the women beat him with the strands of barbed wire. He was dragged from the village and left to die alone in the bush. Joseph somehow managed to crawl to a water hole, and there, after days of passing in and out of consciousness, found the strength to get up. He couldn't understand the hostile reception he had received from the people he had known all his life. Again, this is his community. These people knew him. Finally, he decided that he must have left something out or not told the story correctly. So after rehearsing the message, he decided to go back and share his faith again. He limped into the circle of huts and began to proclaim Jesus. "He died for you so that you might find forgiveness and come to know the living God." Again, he was grabbed by the men of the village and held while the women beat him, reopening the wounds that had just begun to heal. Once more, they dragged him unconscious from the village and left him to die. To have survived the first beating was truly remarkable. To live through the second was a miracle. Again, days later, Joseph awoke in the wilderness, bruised, scarred, and determined in his heart to go back. He returned to the small village, and this time they attacked him before he had a chance to open his mouth. As they flogged him for the third and probably the last time, he again spoke to them of Jesus Christ, the Lord, and before he passed out, the last thing he saw was the women who were beating him had begun to weep. This time he awoke in his own bed. The ones who had so severely beaten him were now trying to save his life and nurse him back to health. Through Joseph's witness, the entire village came to know Jesus Christ. Wow. I wonder how much pain and suffering we're willing to bear that others may come to know the Lord. Can you imagine? I mean, being beaten once and going back, wow. Being beaten twice and going back, why? Because he died to self, and those people were more important than his own life. They needed to hear Jesus Christ, about Jesus Christ. The world's going to come against us. There is no doubt it's going to get worse. They're going to mock us, make fun of us, persecute us, take things away from us. You'll see some of that at the prophecy conference. Some of the things that they're getting ready to implement, which is, to me, the craziest thing, but they are going to monitor every aspect of your life. I hope they monitor our Bible studies. I hope they monitor our radio station, that they come to know the living God. Because Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. These things I command you, that you love one another." Wow. When you look at the life of Joseph that we just read about, here was a man who was willing to lay down his life for his family, his friends who lived in his community, so that they can come to saving faith. We are living in a very exciting time. I know it's a difficult time, but we could be, and I don't know if it's true or not, but we could be that generation that closes out church history. Maybe the next generation, I don't know. But we're getting close. When I look at the things with artificial intelligence, I don't think we can go on that many more years. The way artificial intelligence is gaining information has superseded Moore's Law. And Moore's Law is the amount of computer information doubles every 2 years. It's every 3 months now. We're getting close. I think artificial intelligence, I think we'll see it. We won't see it, but it'll be here with the image of the beast. I think that will be what the false prophet turns on, this artificial intelligence. But we're getting very close, and that's why I can't imagine 20, 30, 40, 50 years, because artificial intelligence is growing at such an alarming rate. Transhumanism is they're working on that. And again, I'll show you a lot of that at the prophecy study, but you look at all this and you go, man, if it wasn't for the Lord and his Spirit giving me the power, there is no way I'd be able to live like I'm living. There's no way I'd be able to do these things. And we have to show love to people in a world that is very unloving. The love, Jesus talked about, the love of many is going to grow what? Better? No, cold. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And we're seeing that. Watchman Nee told a story about a Chinese Christian who owned a rice paddy next to one who was owned by a communist man. And the Christian irrigated his paddy by pumping water out of a canal. He had one of those leg-operated pumps that make the user appear to be seated on a bicycle and pedaling. And every day after the Christian had pumped enough water to fill his field, the communist would come out, remove some boards that kept the water in the Christian's field, and let all the water flow down into his own field. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to pump anything. And it continued day after day. And finally, the Christian prayed. He said, "Lord, if this keeps up, I'm going to lose all my rice, maybe even my field. I've got a family to care for. What can I do?" In answer to his request, the Lord put a thought in his mind. So the next morning when he got up, and he got up much earlier this time in the pre-dawn hours, still dark out, and started pumping water into the field of his communist neighbor. Then he replaced the boards and pumped water into his own rice paddy. A few weeks, both fields of rice were doing well, and the communist was converted. Did he have the right to fight against this guy for what he was doing, taking his water? He absolutely did. But he let it go. And here is a man who's now in the kingdom of God. The power of God's love. It's not easy, but he will give us what we need in the situations we are facing. You know, I read again that story of Joseph, and I go, man, I don't know if I could do that. I don't have to do that right now. But when you are placed in a situation where you have to do something that is far beyond any human ability, God will give you exactly what you need for the situations you will face. The thing is, you still have to surrender. You still have to walk by faith. And that's what we saw in the life of Joseph there. And here's the thing, and I'll close with this. The world may hate us, and the world does hate us. They may persecute us. What does Jesus say? "These things I command you, that you love one another." Thank you, Lord, help me. It's a difficult thing to do in these days. Help me to love. Let's pray. Father, these words are not easy, and they're not meant to be, because truly as we follow you and the world comes against us, we need that supernatural love, that unconditional love, that agape love that can only come from you. And Lord, we just pray for the opportunities to be able to share that love with others, to share the love of Christ, And I realize that's opening a can of worms, you might say, because you may bring someone across our path that may be very challenging to us. Something may happen where people are doing things that are very wrong against us. And Lord, help us to respond in a way that would honor you. Help us to be more like you, that we love one another as you have loved us. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.